Well, once again, welcome to North Place Church. We're so glad that you have joined us. If you're joining us online, we're glad that you're with us as well. We are having a season as a church where we are looking at the subject of grief. It's interesting when the Holy Spirit is working something in your life and talking to you about something, how you start to see it in a lot of places. You know, it's kind of like you decide to buy a car and you do a lot of research and you think, oh, I'm going to get this car. I haven't seen anyone else driving this car. And all of a sudden when you decide on it, you're looking around and that car is everywhere. Ladies, you know how it is. You buy a dress and you think, oh, no one else has this dress. And then you start seeing like people where everywhere you go, people have this dress or this shirt or whatever. It's kind of been like that for me on this conversation about grief and thinking about grief. To be honest, I don't think it's ironic or weird or anything, because I think a lot of people are experiencing grief right now. I think we are sort of awakening to the reality of grief and how it affects our lives. As we continue in this conversation, I believe the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us. I believe the Lord is doing a work in our life. Last week, as we began to talk about grief, we learned that grief is a feeling of deep mental anguish caused by loss. And it was important to sort of start there in the conversation, because for most of us, when we start talking about grief, unless we've recently experienced the loss of a loved one, unless someone recently in our life has passed away, we most of the time don't apply thoughts about grief to ourselves, because we limit grief most of the time to when someone has passed away. But grief is more than that. It's broader than that. It includes any type of loss that we may have experienced in our life. It includes not just the loss of a loved one, but financial loss, the loss of relationships, the loss of jobs, the loss of time, if you will, the loss of control. Many times people get in situations where they no longer have control over the details of their life or the things that are going on around them, and they begin to experience the symptoms, if you will, of grief, but don't necessarily understand that. And that's because we don't recognize that grief is what happens to us emotionally, what happens to us in our soul as we experience loss. I want to encourage you, if you weren't here with us last Sunday or if you weren't able to watch online, you can go and download last week's message, the audio only, from our website, or you can go to any of our social media streams and you can watch the video if you'd like to do that, or you prefer to watch that way. I believe it would be helpful for you if you sense that perhaps God is wanting to speak to you about loss. If you, like most people in the world in 2020, have experienced the loss of some things. As I've been processing grief this year, there's been sort of a shift in my understanding of grief. Not so much a departure in things that I believed before, but sort of a shift or an addition to an understanding of grief that I always had walked with or carried before. And it goes something like this. As much as we pass through grief, one of the things that I've begun to learn is that grief, when it is good, passes through us. Now, that's not an attempt to just be clever or to play on words in my part. It really is an understanding growth that has happened for me. I've always thought about grief as sort of a season that you go through. We talk about it as seasons or stages. That's often the way that we communicate. Last week, I talked about Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's classic work on grief, and a lot of people, when they refer to grief or try to give advice on grief or help on grief, even when they don't even know it, a lot of times they are referencing her work on the five stages of grief. She talks about denial, anger, bargaining, sadness, and acceptance. And a lot of us, that's how we think about it. We think about grief as stages. We've been looking in particular at Job. And if you think about what she has to say about the stages of grief, You can look at Job from that perspective. He certainly went through those stages. He went through those processes. But I believe that it probably would be helpful for all of us if we sort of flip the script a little bit. Instead of looking at grief from that classical perspective of something that you go through, I believe if we will look at grief from the perspective of something that's working its way through us, it will change our relationship with grief. Let me say it a little bit differently. I think oftentimes we almost view grief as an adversary. It's like a mountain to climb, right? I've got to get over my grief. I've got to get through grief. Grief is an obstacle for me to overcome. And because we have this adversarial relationship with grief, it clouds the way that we process it. And we almost set it up as something that is negative in our life rather than realizing that grief is something that is good, that can be good, and that can produce good things in us. Like I started the conversation today, as I've started thinking about grief and even preparing this message and preparing these thoughts with you, I've started seeing people talk about grief in a lot of places. And just yesterday, I noticed a comment on social media by a friend of mine who I have been sort of watching from a distance over the last pretty considerable amount of time, as this friend has been dealing with the loss of a spouse. And with great admiration, I've sort of watched this friend process, and he's been so gracious to do a lot of his processing out loud on social media so that many of us can learn from his story. And yesterday, he made a comment, and his comment struck me in a weird sort of way, and it resonated with the point that I was trying to make right now. My friend said, he said, I am great. I've learned to become grateful for my grief. And when I read that, I thought, wow, how can a person be grateful for their grief? And he followed up that statement very quickly by saying, I'm not grateful for what caused my grief, but in my walk with God, I've learned to become grateful for grief and what grief has produced in me. As much as I've watched this guy's life over the last period of time and admired him so much, my admiration even went to another level as I thought, my, what incredible perspective to come to a place where a person can say, as much as I hate what has happened to me, I recognize that what has happened to me has drawn me closer to God. In my life, one of the things that I have noticed is the people that I have been most drawn to and their walk with Jesus, the people that I have grown to respect, the authenticity, the genuineness of their relationship with the Lord the most, are people who have walked through great loss. In fact, this week, again, I was in a conversation with a group of leaders, and we were discussing a book, and in the book, the author of the book was talking about brokenness in the Lord, and in his chapter on brokenness, or his discussion on brokenness, he referenced a quote by A.W. Tozer, and the quote goes like this: "It is doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply." I read that statement and I thought, wow, someone needs to tell Tozer that you can't say things like that. He's not going to be very popular. He's not going to have a very popular ministry. He's probably not going to sell a lot of books when you say things like that. Somebody needs to tell Tozer that. Well, most of you are looking at me crazy, and it's because you don't realize that Tozer's probably one of the most prolific authors. His writings and his books have been collected into books that have sold by the millions of copies. This man has an unbelievable voice in the body of Christ. And it's because he says things like this, things that are absolutely true, things that we don't want to hear, but that scripture makes clear over and over and over again. Sentiments such as embracing suffering and grief as a part of the process of God working out his glory in us simply is not popular. It's not comfortable. It's something that we may even reject in modern Christianity, yet it is inextricably biblical. What he said is absolutely true, and it's something that we see so clearly in the life of Job. When we left off with Job last week, we saw him expressing worship in his shock and in his despair. He sat in silence with his friends and he recognized that good grief is not done in isolation. Good grief includes God and others. Very quickly, let me show you what we learned last week. Good grief is a form of worship. It embraces silent reflection and it includes other people and God. Now let's pick up where we left off with Job last week as he was sitting silently with his friends for 7 days. Let me read Job chapter 3 verses 1 through 5 to you. It says this, "After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. He said, 'May the day of my birth perish, and the night that said, a boy is conceived. That day, may it turn to darkness. May God above not care about it. May no light shine on it. May gloom and other darkness claim it once more. May a cloud settle over it. May blackness overwhelm it.'" Wow. After 7 days, somebody says, what in the world could Job possibly been doing for 7 days when he sat quietly? Well, I can tell you what he was doing. He was putting some stuff together in his head and he was ready to uncork, right? I mean, the guy went off. He said, "Cursed is the day that I was born." Not just the day that I was born, but the day that they realized that I was born. Cursed is the day. May it never have existed. This guy had something to say. He was storing up some things that he wanted to declare. You can read the book of Job from that point forward. And in fact, I would encourage you during your daily 20 to do so this week, because I believe it probably will, and for some of us, resonate in our soul, the rawness of what we read there. The back and forth between Job and his friends, he laid it out there. He went off. He explained exactly how he felt. His pain and his grief caused him to not want to be born, to never want to be conceived, for no one to even know of his existence, for God to erase the day that anyone ever even thought about him. His experience, his hurt, and his pain threw his mind, his heart, his soul into a place where he said, "This is unthinkable." For many of us here today or watching online, perhaps some of the things that we have experienced during this season have been absolutely unthinkable. I can tell you, when I started this year, there was no way that I could have imagined that I would be sitting here today dealing with some of the issues and the concerns that I'm dealing with. I couldn't have imagined it. I could have never even thought of these things happening. And that's exactly where Job was. But see, we have to understand that good grief processes honestly with healthy boundaries. That's what Job demonstrates to us. You may read the book of Job and it may make you incredibly uncomfortable. You may read the book of Lamentations as we talked about last week. You may read some of the Psalms and it makes you uncomfortable to see those things, to hear those things, to declare those things. For many of us, grief has not been something that we embrace, and the declaration of our pain and our heartache has been something that we avoided because it makes us uncomfortable. Unfortunately, as we discussed last week, many of us have embraced an unhealthy mindset, which says that we have to suppress, we have to push down or bottle up our emotions or our responses to pain. For some of us, perhaps the culture that we grew up in or the way that we have been conditioned have taught us that we have to always be strong for others, that we always have to put on a brave face, that we always have to say and confess things that are positive and rosy and good. For some of us, it's appropriate culturally for us to never talk about these things. And yet, I believe with all of my heart, good grief, healthy grief is the type of grief that honestly expresses the pain that we feel. There are layers to culture and conditioning that I may never know and I may never be able to explain or understand because I didn't grow up like you grew up or where you grew up or as you grew up. But I can tell you this, what I see over and over again from the biblical declaration is that people in Scripture spoke out about those things that were hurting them. They were not shy about confessing their pain to God. As a spiritual leader, I'm certainly concerned about your psychological health. I care deeply about those things, but that's not my area of expertise. I'm not necessarily trained to help you in all of those areas. But as a spiritual leader in your life, I'm primarily in this message today concerned about the theological implications of the mindset that says I can never talk to God about the things that hurt me because perhaps if I do, I'm going to make God mad at me, I'm going to disappoint God, or I'm going to be isolated from God. I'm concerned theologically about what it means or the dysfunctional theology that it creates in our lives when we believe that somehow or another God is threatened by our honesty, that somehow or another God is threatened by our confession of pain, our struggle, our heartache. I'm concerned because that's not what the Bible declares. What the Bible declares over and over and over again is that God is touched, he feels, he's concerned about those things that concern us, and that when we come to him in honesty, he answers us. We've been trying to teach you since the beginning of this lockdown that we can come to God, that God is not threatened by our weakness, he is not threatened by our struggle. God is not so insecure that heaven shakes when you and I declare that we're upset or that we're concerned or that we're afraid. In fact, it is in those weak places that we most, I believe, that we most know God and that we most see God. Notice that Job, in all of his ranting and raving and his honest expression of his concerns and his heartache, had healthy boundaries around his life. And this is something I want us to get this morning. You see, if you and I are going to have grief that is good, if grief is going to do a good work in us, then we must have boundaries in our grief. And very quickly, I want you to see, Job had some boundaries. The first boundary that he had was what we talked about last week. He went to God. He didn't run from God. He went to God. He postured his grief as worship. He set intentionally the boundary around his life that although I'm going to be honest about my pain, I'm still going to trust God. The second boundary that we see that Job intentionally placed in his life was that he chose not to sin in his grief. Even when his wife came to him and said, "Job, just curse God." In other words, "Job, turn your back on God." Job purposed in his heart, "I'm going to be honest with God, but I'm not going to turn my back on him. I'm going to be honest with God, but I'm not going to sin." See, I want to encourage you as your pastor and as a spiritual voice in your life, please enter into your grief and allow your grief to enter into you. Allow it to work its way in you. Express your grief to God, but purpose in your heart. I must purpose in my heart that when I grieve, I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to turn my back on God. I'm not going to curse God. Intentionally, I'm going to place boundaries around me. And the last boundary that we see is that Job surrounded himself with people who would speak honestly with him. Even when they said things that he did not agree, he purposely allowed people into his life who would push back against his grief. He didn't isolate himself, as we talked about last week, but he also did not quiet the voices in his life that would bring balance to his confession. See, many of us struggle with being honest about what's going on in our life because we're not intentional about allowing people into our life who will bring balance to our pain. How often do we avoid those who disagree with us? How often do we avoid those who are not hurting the way we are hurting because somehow or another they're going to challenge our pain, they're going to challenge our doubt, they're going to challenge our fear? Job allowed there to be boundaries in his life of people who would challenge his doubt, who would challenge his fear, who would challenge his confession. There's nothing wrong with airing out what's going on inside of you. But when you and I are so weak and immature that we don't allow people into our lives who will tell us the truth, when what we are saying, our perspective isn't complete, we set ourselves up for unhealthy, not good, destructive grief. Are you hearing me today? You and I can have good grief when we allow there to be boundaries. See, good grief humbly embraces a response. Good grief humbly embraces a response, and it embraces restoration. When Job set these boundaries in his life, he entered his grief first postured before God, expecting that he would be responded to and trusting for restoration. Job 38 verses 1 through 3. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Job spent many days making his declarations before God. And now God speaks up and says, okay, Job, let me answer you. See, one of the decisions I have to make when I'm in pain is that I have to allow myself to be comforted. I have to allow myself to be answered. If we are not careful in our grief, we can get to a place where we are determined to not listen to anyone and we are determined to not listen to God. We can get so comfortable in our uncomfortable place. We can get so comfortable in our grief. We can get so comfortable in our pain that we will not allow ourselves to be answered. One of the cautions that we must be aware of is that if we're not careful, grief can become a black hole from which we never emerge. It can be a force that eats away at us, and we never allow God to heal us or to cause us to recognize his glory coming through us. You see, if you look at the back and forth between Job and his friends, you can see a guy who was struggling to be answered, and he didn't always like the answer that he got, and he argued with those people in his life, but he kept the conversation going. Why did he keep the conversation going? Why didn't he kick them out? Why didn't he send them away? It was because somewhere in his heart of hearts, he knew he was waiting for God to speak. He was waiting for answers. He was waiting for God to show his glory through his pain. You see, his grief works through us. As grief works through us over time, as God gives us answers, as God show his glory, as grief works through us, we gain perspective. Job chapter 42 verses 1 through 6, then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. Now here's a guy who said, God, kill me. God, let my life be over. Let erase me from existence. And now he's saying, God, I know you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. He was saying, God, my life doesn't have a purpose. My pain doesn't have a purpose. And now he's saying, no purpose of yours can be thwarted. You said, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I've spoken of things I do not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you shall answer me. Watch this. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." Here's a man who went through so much time telling God how it was, expressing his heart, expressing his pain. But he comes to this place where God says, "Okay, Job, I'm here to talk to you. I'm here to restore you. I'm here to answer you." And as God answers and responds to Job, Job says, "Okay, now I have perspective. Now I see things like I've never seen them before." I know it's not popular. I know it's not something we want to hear. But I'm going to say to you, friend, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus, I promise you, you will never see him the way that you saw him before as you go through this year. As you allow his work to work its way through you during this season of your life, you will know him in a way that you've never known him before, and you will trust him in a way that you've never trusted him before. Job says in the beginning, "Lord, let the day that I was born be completely erased. This plan is futile. It doesn't matter." And now, after all of his confession, after all of his declaration, here is a man who has perspective enough to say, "You know what? There's things that I don't see. There's things that I don't understand. I trust you." Like my friend I discussed earlier, like Tozer's statement, grief changes us. We learn to trust God. We learn to trust him in our pain, and we learn to trust him for restoration. It's never going to be the same. That's hard to accept. But is it possible, as Desert shared earlier in worship, is it possible that perhaps things needed to change? Is it possible that perhaps I needed to see God differently? Is it possible that God is working his glory through me in a way that I needed him to do so, and that others around me needed to happen? Is it possible that this change and this transition and what is happening in our life is for our good? Job chapter 42, verses 16 and 17. "After this, Job lived 140 years, and he saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. And so Job died, an old man, full of years." See, my friend, here's the thing. Grief doesn't have to be bad. I believe, biblically, grief is for our good. I believe that there are things that we will never understand and that we cannot explain. But the testimony of Job and the testimony of Scripture is that God is working his plan in us and through us. And that as we process grief, and as we're willing to be open and honest, and as we allow there to be boundaries to our grief, God will show himself to us, he will speak to us, and he will work out his plans in our life, even when we can't see it, explain it, or understand it. Job thought all was lost, but God showed his power, his might, his providence, and his good in Job's life. And I believe he's doing the same for you and I. Would you close your eyes for a moment? Father, I thank you so much for the work that you are doing. Lord, there's a part of me that really wants to make people laugh, that really wants to make people smile during this season. There's a part of me, Lord, that wants to give answers. God, there's a part of me that wants answers for myself. Lord, and I'd be lying to not acknowledge that someone has an opportunity to lead a few people. I really struggle with not being able to make it all better in people's lives. struggle with not being able to give answers that satisfy. To not be able to answer why. To not be able to lay it all out, how it's going to be better in the end. But God, what I learned from Job, what I learned from others in Scripture, and the hope that I give and that I offer, so Scripture teaches us that you are working for our good, even when we can't see it, even when we can't explain it. And that God, you invite us to come to you in honesty and in sincerity. And that wisdom says that as we grieve, we do so with boundaries. And as we grieve with boundaries, it is for our good. And ultimately, Lord, that good is that we gain a perspective of you, a trust of you, a confidence in you that allows us to be used for your glory, to be declarations of your grace and your mercy and your love, of your compassion, of your restoration for others. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for everyone who is here today, anyone who is watching online, I pray that by your spirit, you would begin to help us to embrace our grief, that you would give us the wisdom to set boundaries in our life, that first we would come to you in worship, that we would submit our grief to you, that we wouldn't avoid you in it, but that we would run to you in it. That, Lord, we would choose, that we would choose, we would determine, I will not sin in my grief. I will not curse God. I will not reject God in my grief. In spite of how justified we may feel, in spite of the voices in our life that may tell us that we are justified, in spite of the voices that may make a case against you, that we will determine in our hearts, we will not sin in our grief. And that ultimately, Lord, we will surround ourselves with people who bring balance. Even when we don't like what they have to say, even when they challenge our perceptions, that they will bring balance to our confession. Father, I pray that we would posture ourselves as people who will be consoled. We will accept answers. We will accept the comforting of your spirit. We will not reject you. We will receive from you. We will trust you ultimately for our restoration. Father, I pray do that in us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, the things.